Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Control Print Limited Q2 FY25 Result Conference Call hosted by Asian Market Securities Limited. This conference may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Actual results may differ from such expectations, projections, etc., whether expressed or implied. Participants are requested to exercise caution while referring to such statements and remarks. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Karan Bhatelia from Asian Market Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Tanmaya. A very warm afternoon to all. We welcome to the Control Print Limited 2Q FY25 Earnings Conference Call hosted by Asian Market Securities. From the management side, we have Mr. Shiva Kabra, Joint Managing Director, and Jaideep Barve, CFO. Now, I hand over this call to Jaideep for his opening remarks. Post that, we shall open the floor for Q&A. Thanks, and over to you.
Hello. Yeah, good evening, everybody. My name is Jaideep Barve, and I am the Chief Financial Officer of Control Print Limited. Welcome, everybody, to the earnings conference call for the first half of the financial year 2024-25 of Control Print Limited. We appreciate that you have taken out time from your busy schedule to attend this call. With the festival season around, I take this opportunity to wish you and your families a happy Diwali. Mr. Shiva Kabra, the Joint Managing Director of Control Print, also joins me on this call. For the first-timers who are joining us on this call, more information about our company can be obtained by visiting our website. For your information, the detailed presentation has already been put up on the website as well as in the investor presentation notification on both the exchanges for this call. Let me now provide you some highlights of the performance of CPL for the first half of financial year 2024-25 on a standalone basis. The revenues from operations. On a standalone basis, the total income for H1 is approximately 185 crores. This is a good growth from approximately rupees 165 crores in the first half of the previous financial year. Just for information, for financial year 2023-24 and financial year 2023, the total income was 347 crores and 295 crores, respectively. Pipes, food, cable and wire, dairy, steel and metal, and wood remain our top.
Sorry to interrupt. The line to the management has been dropped. Please stay connected. We have now the management line with us.
Yeah, hi. Sorry for this technological glitch, but I'll continue with my speech. Regarding the expenses and profitability levels, the cost of goods sold has remained steady at around 40% of sales in the H1. Management remains committed to optimize the procurement costs and also look closely into the economy, efficiency, and effectiveness of operations. This, we feel, can definitely lead to a reduction in the operating costs going forward. Employee costs have marginally increased due to a proposed employee incentive program. Depreciation, manufacturing costs, and other expenses are incurred in line with the business needs. The EBITDA, PBT, PAT, and the EPS, excluding exceptional items, grew by 7.3%, 11.6%, 15.5%, and 70.5% on a YOY basis. The way forward is for coding and marking. The change sales strategy to focus on bigger and key accounts should result in both the jump as well as having a good quality of revenue. We would have a better penetration into the track and trace segments. We have some good strong orders in the pipeline. Global footprints will be increased by focused management of overseas subsidiaries, and installed base will be increased, focusing on increasing our larger market share. The floor is now open for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Karan Bhatelia from Asian Market Securities Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Mix across printer, consumables, spares and others for this quarter.
Sir, please can you repeat your question?
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Jaideep, this is with respect to the number of printers sold in this quarter.
Yeah. So you want the number of printers which are sold in the quarter, is it?
Yes, yes.
Well, we sold 681 printers in this quarter, 681.
81, right.
Yeah.
And also, can you share the revenue mix between printers, consumables, spares and others?
For this quarter, the breakup between printers, consumables, spares and service income is approximately 13%, 64%, 7% and 15% respectively.
13 is for printers, consumables is 64.
64, yeah. Right. 7 is okay. For by spares. And 15% is towards the service income.
Right. Thank you. That is from my side.
Yeah, thanks, Karan.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Aman, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, you are.
I just wanted, basically I am new to the business and I just wanted to know that what are our internal growth projections for the all the acquired companies like Markprint, Cordiology, CP Italia and a JV with V-Shape. So like it is in line with the overall control print growth of, as you mentioned in previous call, of 10 to 12% or a higher side. Do we acquire it for higher inorganic growth of the company? And the second question is, I just wanted to know the average pricing of our single printer.
Yeah, Shiva, you want to take this question?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Aman. So in general, our industry growth is anywhere between 10-12%. And that's more for the standalone coding and marking growth. Whatever acquisitions we made, that's obviously to increase the longer term organic growth of the company. So one acquisition was quite strategic in nature, which is, you know, our own subsidiary CP Italy, in which we purchased V-Shapes. So that's an entry into a new line of business, which is in the packaging sector. Then one thing which we developed also through a sort of purchase, but more of a where a team sort of came over, then you know, the whole thing happened was for our track and trace business, which is under the Curious Codes brand. So I think you'll see more information on our website about that. And what we're doing in the core control print is the coding and marking and the digital printing business. So that's under the control print brand. So I think if you see it, we have basically essentially been focusing on expanding our organic sales growth capability by looking at some acquisitions to improve A, the technology coverage, and B, to improve some geographical coverage. So if you look at, like I said, track and trace and, you know, of course, investments in digital printing and getting to the packaging machinery businesses more on the technology side. And then certain other things where we made certain investments, that is for filling some holes in our product range, which is with Cordiology and Markprint. And also for the geographical expansion. So it's to increase our organic growth rate for the, you know, at least the medium term.
Okay. And one more question, sir. Exactly 64%, as you mentioned, the consumable. So may I know what is the exactly consumable, sir? What is actually the consumable part?
Yeah, so normally it's inks. You know, okay. So a printer will use ink, like, you know, how you have an inkjet printer and use ink. So even our printers are industrial inkjet printers and the main consumer is ink. Of course, in some printers, the cart, the inks are in the form of cartridges. There are also some solvents associated with the inks. There are ribbons in some cases, you know, in certain cases. So that would be the consumables. And there's also service and spares and filters business, which is another type of a repeat, but it's not a consumable per se. It's more of a, we call it, I think, on the spares business. It's called under the spares and service business. So that would be a recurring part of our revenue, part of our business, both of these sets.
So major part is basically the consumable which printers use.
Yeah, the consumables is the largest sector of our revenue. Then the second biggest sector, or about equal, I don't know exactly, Jaydeep, but as the numbers would be the service and filters and parts business. And
yeah,
then the printer business would be about the same size as the service parts and filters business.
So for this quarter, it is 13, 64, 7 and 15 between printers, consumables, spares and service.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you didn't mention the pricing of our one single, average pricing of a printer.
No, so we've got a range of printers. So there's no single printer that we sell. So unless you tell me which printer exact model you're talking about, it's impossible to know. But our printers go from about 95,000 all the way to like, you know, close to 40 lakhs or even further than that. So it depends on which printer. I cannot say offhand because there are so many different models that we have, depending on the need of the customer, you know.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all, sir.
Thank you very much. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Naisar Parikh from Native Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, hi, Shivaji. You know, just two questions. One is that this quarter seems to be low.
Right now you're cutting. If you could just repeat yourself again, at least for me, you're cutting.
Sorry. Is it better?
Yes.
Yeah, my question was that new printer sales seem to be low in terms of YOY as well as, you know, volume and even percentage sold. So is there still some weakness or, you know, how should we look at that? And second is that over the OPEX cost, employee cost, that's obviously...
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Can you please speak a little clearer and louder? Your voice is not clear.
Sorry, is this better?
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. Could you get my first question, Jaydeep?
So I got both your questions. I think the first question you raised was the number of printers sold and that it's lower than the past trajectory and whether that's signaling a slowdown in the business, if I'm correct, or is there a pickup that's expected? Is this correct?
Yeah. Yes, correct.
Approximately something of the sort. So, you know, like I said, we've changed our sales strategy quite significantly and we've cut out a lot of the smaller customers because we, you know, in the end, our USP is to service the biggest and best customers. So you can say it could be like a Taj or Oberoi where he said, you know, in the end, we don't want to be in the 4-star range of hotels. You know, we only want to be in the 5-star super deluxe category. So in the beginning, it has some minor effect on the sales numbers. But if you look at our consumers numbers, you know, the overall sales is still grown because the quality of the sale is improved, you know. So the amount of aftermarket business we're getting per printer and the life of the printer, you know, in terms of operation has increased because in general, Americo would, just to take a name, would, you know, if they buy a printer, they're going to use it for the next 8, 10, 12 years, you know. Whereas a small company, they might be successful, they might not be successful, they might shutter down, anything might happen. So maybe the life of those printers is less, like maybe 3, 4, 5 years. And obviously, Marico would produce more, you know, whatever, I don't know, Parachute or whatever, through that line, as an example. I'm not talking about a specific customer again. But whereas a smaller company would also produce less you know, less bottles of coconut oil through that line. So as a result, the amount of business we would get from a printer in a Marico, for example, would be, you know, to the average 2 to 3 times higher than what we would get from a small customer. And it would also be 2 to 3 times longer in terms of duration that the printer would be used. So, you know, when you look at it from that angle, obviously, that's sort of where we shifted our focus. It has created a more of a, rather than affecting our sales number, it's slightly affecting it, but more than anything, what I think is it's caused a certain amount of lumpiness in the sale. So I think the sales pipeline is still strong, and I still expect that we could sell the same number of printers as what we did in the past, and they would be of better quality, but you know, not right now. I cannot say that it's going to be the same level of quality. But I think that, so again, just to see, I think that we're going to sell as many printers as before with a significantly higher level of quality. But I'm quite sure what we will not do is, you know, reduce aftermarket business, because each printer we're selling is of higher quality than before, on average.
Okay. But shouldn't that reflect in some way, because we've been talking about this for like over a year now. So shouldn't that reflect in some way, either in terms of higher consumable sales or, you know, higher average selling price per printer? You know, volume could be low, but there should be, if we are selling better quality printers, shouldn't that reflect in revenue or in consumable if we are selling to a bigger client?
Look at it, our average consumables business per printer has increased, and that's driving the sales forward. So, I don't know if that number is there in the presentation, I've appreciate, but the average business per printer, the average IV of business per printer has increased, and that is what is driving our sales. And of course, if you look at it, the strategy has only been in effect for a year and a half, so it's still taking place. You know, there are like 100 sales guys, you know, that we have. There's like 300 service people, so it takes time to, for everyone to believe in, you know, what the management says sometimes, and get it implemented down the line. But from what we see is that the quality of sale has improved, and that's why the business per printer has improved. And that's obviously because the marginal sales in the last year to year and a half have been better. And that's what's driving the business, consumers business growth. The second part was about the operating expenses. So I think, you know, that's the second question that you wanted to put through, if I'm correct. And you also mentioned something maybe for employee costs. So I think what's happening is that we've got 2-3 business that we've invested in, like the track and trace, you know, the packaging machinery business and other things, even in India. And we've not really gotten the numbers from that as yet in some parts of our digital printing. So it's not really contributing to the revenue right now. And I expect that it will significantly in the very near future, because we have some projects, even as we talk, which we need to implement or rather execute completely, because till we don't sign off on it, we cannot start a billing. So I think there is some revenue from the track and trace, there's very little revenue from the packaging. And so what part of the operating expenses that are there from the non-coding and marking businesses. Because in the coding and marking, we're very conscious about how much money we are spending. And if I gave a pure breakup and I broke out, you know, if I took track and trace as a separate division, and I took packaging as a separate division, and I took coding and marking as a separate division, and I took out investments in the digital printing R&D and stuff like that. And then if I break it up into 4 separate businesses, one is coding and marking, one is sort of the digital printing part, and the innovations that we're doing there. One is a track and trace business, and, you know, separate P&L for that, and the last would be a packaging machinery business. You'll see like 3 businesses will be running into a loss, or be sucking up resources. And one business would have, you know, the coding and marking business profitability would have further increased. But obviously what you're getting is a consolidated statement. I'm not making any excuses here, because in the end, you know, it is my decision, you know, and the company's decision that we want to pursue these opportunities. But there is an investment period, you know, before, sometimes in these cases, before we can see a return.
Fair. So what would be the investment, or what would be the loss from the track and trace and packaging business in this quarter or half year, if you can give that number?
So I don't have those numbers offhand, because we ourselves have not separated out completely. but I would say like it would be in the order of a few crores.
But okay. Because if you give some
as a number for last year, but obviously we have a certain number of salespeople, employees, costs, and it would be at least a few crores a quarter towards that. So some of the OPEX that you're seeing, both in terms of other expenses and in terms of employee costs, is related to these other businesses. It's, you know, I would say like the coding and marking cost has not increased that significantly or lesser than what the revenue increase has been. So if you look at the delta on that business, to me, from what I know, is more profitable. But I mean, the thing is, I've not put it out in the investor presentation, so now I'm a little bit reluctant to talk about it exactly. So that's something I'll have to discuss with Jaydeep. But we can put it out next quarter or do something like that, maybe at the end of the year. Some of these businesses are also more lumpy in the packaging side and the track and trace, because these are, you know, where you can get projects which are significantly higher in terms of billing, but till you don't ship out and you don't bill completely, like obviously for someone like us, we would not consider that as revenue till the day, you know, the project is signed off, the customers accepted it and accepted to, you know, pay us. So so there's some lumpiness to those revenues. I want to be straightforward, till we don't increase the size of that business to the extent that the lumpiness reduces.
Okay, so if we look at it, right, we're growing at a gross profit level or at somewhere around 20% plus, but EBITDA is down to flat, right? So just going forward, do we think that from a loss perspective of the other business and investment, that, you know, it is not going to go beyond it and we'll start seeing some revenue push, or do we think that there is still some time or some more loss that needs to be incurred there? How should we just think about it? Because the revenue is up 17% and then EBITDA is down. So how should we think about
the
next?
So what I was talking about was on the standalone part, where I said we lost a few crores. If you look on the consolidated side, you see that there's a significant negative as compared to the standalone. So again, the standalone profit has increased, but even in the standalone, which is, you know, Control Print in India, there is a substantial set of other expenses that we've incurred in these other businesses within our own the areas directly being looked at by the mothership company. And if you look at the subsidiaries and you add that up, because obviously we're investing. So right now, you know, I can only say that we're in the investment phase. I had said in the previous con call that I'm looking at 2 full years before the strategy is executed. And we're working on all sides, because in the end, we are not here to, you know, I mean, I'm not here to nickel and dime this, you know. In the end, like, my objective was very straightforward, which I have said, is that to increase the long-term growth rate of the company, and we have the types of products and, solutions and the technology with, you know, patents and everything else that's protecting us, to do that in the medium to long term. So if that means that we have to be, you know, obviously in the meantime, we still want to optimize our business in the current thing. But, you know, I'm not, of course, I don't really make predictions in any of the con calls from the past, obviously you would know. But again, like I said, it's going to take a 2-year period. And it's very difficult for me to look in the future. But I'm not, like, if someone has asked me overall, I would say, like, the first 6 months of this year have not been bad at all. You know, it's not out of line from what I was expecting.
Okay. And what would be the revenue for track and trace now? Is it getting meaningful? Are we seeing a good pipeline? And same for
pipeline
packaging, if you can give some flavor.
The pipeline is better. There's some projects also, they need to be executed. Till then, we cannot book the revenues. But it's definitely looking better than what it was last year. I think our solution is more mature also. And, you know, as a result, you know how it is to get that first customer or two is more difficult. Once you do that, then it's easy to get the next set of customers and so on and so forth. So it's looking better, and the pipeline is also better. So I think, again, because these are smaller businesses, I would look at it on a year-on-year basis. And, you know, whereas coding and marking is many, many small printers, you can have a, you know, comparison on a quarter to quarter basis, and it's there for a long time. Some of these other projects, like whatever revenue we do, I would look at it over a yearly period, and you know, on a, and compared to the previous year or the, you know, trading 12 month basis to the previous trailing 12 months, because there's a bit of lumpiness to these things. If I sell three packaging machines, that's going to be like 12-14 crores, but that doesn't mean I did it today, because if I get an order today, it's going to take me 6 months to execute it, you know, because the customer has to come, he's going to take the factory acceptance test, have to do all the sampling and other type of things for him. Everything has to be approved piece by piece by piece, because I don't want to send a product which doesn't work properly. Neither do I want the customer to have an issue because, you know, he went like a cowboy, took a machine, and, you know, then he had some problem because the barrier properties or something else was not exactly what he was looking for example. So there are some more different subtleties to these businesses. And, you know, it's a bit more project-like type execution.
Right. All right. Okay. Thanks a lot, Shiva. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Rishi Modi from Marcellus Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Steve. Can you elaborate on the new employee incentive program which you referred to in your opening remarks? What is this about?
I didn't get it exactly. Jaideep, did you understand?
Yeah, he just asked about some employee costs which have gone up. I think you mentioned the same thing, right? About the employee costs?
Yes. So the employee incentive program you referred to that in your...
Yeah, so this is the internal... Yeah, this is the internal management, you know, like decision what we've taken, you know, to make sure that we retain the best talent and make sure that the rewards and recognition go hand in hand. So that's the internal management decision what we've done. So that's why the costs have gone up.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
And about this new sales strategy that you implemented last year, so by when do you expect it to, let's say, start paying off in terms of printer volumes that we sell? So like you have been saying since 2-3 quarters that the pipeline is good and you're hoping to convert, but you know, it isn't happening. So any like reflections on the change that we made last year?
So I think that, like I said, Rishi, I think, you know, our only expectation is that even if we sell the same number of printers as what we were before, that we will get a significantly higher business per printer. And, you know, that's what our focus is. Right now, we are a bit lower on printer sales, you know, in all honesty, that's what we should be. Again, like I said, because the pipeline is good, I cannot predict, but I would expect that we would do on average the same number of printers as what we've been doing in the last couple of years besides this, before this. But because the quality of the printers is better, I think in the long term, it will help us give a stronger long-term revenue growth. So we're still expecting to do well on that front. We're still expecting that the first half can be improved upon, if you get what I'm saying. And we would still be at that 2800 printer mark at the end of the year, which is normally what right, that's what we're about to.
Okay.
But of the quality, of a better quality. So
yeah. Right. Got it. And finally, so if I look at the standalone balance sheet, the inventory has gone up significantly by around 10 odd crores. So like, what's the reason for that?
Yeah, so the main thing is these are some COVID level commitments that we had from the past, and we just executed, you know, as per whatever our commitment was. So we should see some benefits on that side as it comes down. One, two things are slight increase that are there because one, two products that we put more on the digital printing, that we're doing some more R&D, we're also selling those products. So that's caused some minor increases. But some part of it is a commitment that we made in the past. So I think by March, we should see some reduction on that. Maybe not to the level where it was in March 24, but definitely less than what it is in September. Okay. Jaideep, you want to please give your own?
Yeah. So Shiva rightly said, you know, like some of the critical components, you know, the electronic components we had made like orders with our suppliers, and that's the result why the supplies have happened now. But we got a stronger pipeline in hand, so the consumption will happen soon. And as you would be aware about our business, we do tend to keep a certain amount of inventory for the spare parts, because we got some generations of printers going on at our customers' premises. So we need to make sure that they need to be serviced, they need to be replaced as a result of that. But we are quite we are monitoring the situation very closely. And as of Q1, it was about 88, and now it is about 97. But we'll definitely bring down to that Q1 level of 88 or maybe to 85 as well. So we are monitoring the situation very closely.
Okay. And by commitments, you mean that you had committed to buy some minimum quantity?
We have some economies of scale achieved with that. Like the buying costs obviously get reduced by certain amount of committed quantities.
Fine. So, if I look at the difference between your console PAT and standalone PAT, so that's around close to 3 crores. In Q1, that was around 4.6 crores. So, it has reduced sequentially. So, do you expect it to remain at this 3 odd crores level, or how should we think about this?
So, Rishi, I think we said question similar. Obviously we're still in the investment phase, so it's going to take us about 2 years to get a very clear picture of whether we are successful or not. Like I said, from my own perspective, I think I'm happy with the way the first 6 months have gone of this year. So I don't think we are out of strategy, but to give predictions about the future is not really what we do. And like I said, there's also a lot of lumpiness of revenue. So even whether we do well in one quarter, we do poorly in one quarter, it's very difficult to make out, because primarily what's there abroad, a huge part of it is the packaging business. So that is by inherently lumpy. Then even what Markprint does is digital printing. Now again, in both cases, we only count the revenue when we actually ship the equipment and we get the money in. So even if I have some projects, but these projects are more complex, sometimes they can take months to execute. So, it's very difficult to make out whether it's a plus or it's a minus. So what I do believe is that, I agree, we've not given the exact breakup of our coding and marking business versus the digital printing, the track and trace, and the packaging in India in standalone. And we feel that the coding and marking business is still growing and still driving the profitability for everything. And that's why the standalone business has increased, even though there's a lot of cost in the other three businesses, which accordingly would be negative as of right now. It's very difficult to see where things are in the future. But I think, we'll get a very clear picture, because we've got a sort of 2-year roadmap and how we're implementing this entire strategy and going to a long-term path of profitability in this business, because we believe that all the three businesses have a fairly big opportunity size as compared to the coding and marking business. So this could be an opportunity for Control Print to really go to something which where we can be in a much bigger addressable market, and therefore we can sustain that type of strong organic growth for years to come. So, like I said, I'm not here to try and, look at quarterly or short-term results out here. For me, the focus is to really focus on where the strategy is going over the next 2-3 years. And we believe that this will be the best for not only the company, but, for our customers, for our own team, and also for our shareholders in the longer term, and that's sort of where we're thinking. But again, I can't give any predictions. So I think that the two important things to look at are the sales growth overall and the standalone profitability. And maybe in the end of the year, in the results we give it in March, we'll give a breakup of the different businesses. is the coding and marking, and then the other businesses combined. That will give a better picture to everyone. So I think those will be like the key factors. You know, what is the profit of the coding and marking business? You know, because that's what the companies trade. And then whether the sales growth is happening in the other businesses, because we're not here to try to force an early profitability. We want to, you know, we want to scale up these businesses. So in the end, what we would look at more is that is the sales growth happening, you know, and is that on target?
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, Shivaji and Jadeep sir, and thank you firstly for this opportunity. Sir, as you very well articulated and mentioned that we are in this nascent stage of growing these verticals where we have invested in the overseas entities. So only my suggestion point as an investor and as a long-term investor are, number one, so when we are mentioning our current structure under slide number, under the slide which is being uploaded, we should also provide the numerical, that is the value of our investment along the subsidiaries. We have mentioned about Markprint acquisition and the stake being increased twice. So there also, if we could mention how much we have invested, so investors will get an understanding what has been the breakup of the investment from the slide itself. Point number two, Shiva sir, as you very well mentioned that you are not here with the job of predicting what's going to be or guesswork, but sir, you are working with a business plan. And so on a half-yearly basis, at least provide us with an input of what you have thought and how things are shaping up. And also for H2, in terms of these investments, what are the steps that are in the anvil that may or may not result in a probability? But we as investors must be knowing exactly what your line of action being. Since you very well mentioned the first point that you are yourself satisfied with the progress which we have made and the way things are going up, but investing communities, people in the investing community are not getting that same color or things in the numbers, and that will take time. So my first humble suggestion is that we investors must be also in the same loop where your thought process is, and we are there to support you on the basis of that. So for kindly look into or deliberate on what I have spoken. So now coming to the second point, sir, am I audible, sir, clearly to you?
Yeah, you're audible.
Yeah, fine, sir. Because there was total silence. So, sir, now coming to the numbers which we have reported, and I'm now concentrating on the first half itself, not going for the Q1 numbers. So, Jadeepji, you were mentioning about the employee cost being higher because of some one-time incentives, or if you could just give a color on this 31 crore to 44.4 crore increase, that is around 13 crore increase in the employee benefits. What is an exceptional part of it, and what should be the ballpark number for H2 going ahead?
Yeah. So part of question number one, what you said is that to give the invested amounts in the subsidiaries.
Yes,
So going forward, like from Q3 onwards, like of this year, we would definitely give you information about the amounts what CPL has invested in the foreign subsidiaries, yes. In the industry. We'll definitely give.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think Shiva has already, earlier questions.
He's
already commented on, how he actually sees the business going ahead and, what kind of, investments we want to do and make sure, we support them. So at the moment, it is very, very early. We just made these investments early this year. I think in March 2024, we made an investment in the Italian company where we bought out the assets of V-Shapes. And February 24, we made the investment in the UK company, which is Codeology Group Limited. So at the moment, they are still in the investment stage. But one thing is there that Markprint, which we had acquired, way back in 22, now we are working on with the business plan for them. and we are supporting them with every initiative what they're taking. And in the current quarter, they have turned positive. In fact, they have shown a good net profit. So at least the things are looking well for Markprint. And Codeology and V-Shapes investment, which is CPTL here, they are still in the nascent stage. So we would be definitely supporting them and make sure that they would become a self-sufficient unit in the near future and produce the results.
So I'll just give my things after. You see, what happens is out here, the amount we're investing in relationship to Control Print size and profitability is not very high, in all honesty. It seems higher, and of course, everyone wants that, you know, when the results are not that looking that good in the short term, and I can understand, you know, even I might not like it as an investor, but at the end of the day, you know, we need to grow this business. Now, if every business can go through a different phase and every person can have a different view. Like today, it could be that suppose you have IndiaMART International. I'm not here to talk for any other company or something, you know. Please don't take this in the wrong way. Some people might view it that they have to maximize their profitability and they're paying customers or something. Some person might say that, hey, you know what, the opportunity is to become big like a Alibaba and they should be reinvesting the money, in fact, raising more money from the market, you know, even if it means some minor equity dilution at a high rate and growing the business, because this is the time to create a huge company, you know. So there can be, you know, multiple views of a different strategy. For us, we are going in three markets, to be honest, that we have a very good idea about, but we need to understand the exact business model and specifics, because we know that the opportunity is very large in all of these businesses. As we get into specific projects, what we're doing is we're fine-tuning our business model and, you know, where exactly we want to operate, what is going to give us the short-term results, where do we want to work in the medium term and the long term. So the coding and marking business is a mature business model for us because we have an idea of what we want to do. We know the market quite well. And we've been working in this business for, you know, 35 years or something like that. In the other spaces, you know, we are adjacent to those markets. So we know those markets well from a technical angle or certain parts of it. But when you're actually in that business and you're going through the dynamics of the business, and especially, like I said, whether we look at the packaging machinery or the Markprint, you know, these are products, especially in digital printing and, you know, definitely more on the packaging machine, which we're still working a lot on developing certain products and investing on that side and even investing on the digital printing on our own side. So as a result, like I said, I'm not here to, you know, I don't want to give some sort of a guidance which, you know, is incorrect or is leading an investor on. I don't want to say that, you know, hey, this is going to be 1,000 crores or this is going to be 10 crores or something, because, you know, I myself, I'm still optimizing my own idea of how we need to react and work in each of these businesses. Definitely, we have a business plan, but, you know, at right now, these things are still more fluid. You know, there's still more change than what happens in the coding and marking business. Because when we made a change like that, even in the coding and marking business, which was a big change, which was, you know, this is the focus, these are the customers, this is how we're going to work, we had a very definite idea of that business. You know, we knew what we were doing. So even if the market view is that we are losing a big market, which is, you know, all the C&D customers and so on, we feel that that's not a very high-risk move because we know what we're doing. out here, you know, I want to be very clear that we have a good idea of what we want to do in the short to medium term, but we still need to keep optimizing and keep understanding where we need to invest in, what we need to expand, and we're still building out our own teams and our strategies for certain things. What we know is that if the products are appealing to the customer and they're resolving the customer's needs, then, and we have, you know, obviously a protective moat around whatever we are selling, it's a very simple thing in the end. We need customers, you know, we need products specific to resolving specific customer issues. And at the end of the day, whatever product we sell, there should be, you know, some sort of a ring around it. So that's not easy for someone else to deliver the same type of solution that Control Print will deliver. And, you know, that's what our focus is. And we know that we are working well towards that. If there was a problem, I will definitely flag it out. But it's very difficult for me to give a prediction of what exactly, you know, we expect the business to be and what's happening. Right now, our focus is on maximizing the long-term growth, and we feel that the opportunity in all the three businesses definitely the packaging machinery and materials, but also the track and trace and the digital printing is quite a big scope. And even what Control Printer addressed itself is a big scope. Maybe more than the coding and marking business. So, you know, it's like I said, for this was a project for us to get something where Control Print can grow at a high double digit type of a, you know, maybe in where we said, like, you know, our own coding and marking business is growing at, you know, 10-12%. So in the end, even if we're doing well in the short to medium term, in the end, we are constrained by the 10-12% growth. So we need to do some other things to, so that we could say, hey, can we grow at 20% or 15% or 25% over the long period, over the next 10 years? And you know, this is more of a thought to go in that direction. And I think, you know, as a long-term shareholder, you will appreciate that, you know, doing that type of business with strong margins, you know, and operating leverage will also be better for our own long-term shareholders, even though, you know, of course, in the short term, you know, it might not reflect that well. But like I said, I will try and you know, speak to Jaideep, and we'll try to give some sort of a breakup on the standalone basis of the coding and marking business versus the other businesses, so people have an idea of what the core business is doing and then how much we're investing in the other businesses on both an investment basis and an ongoing basis. And like I said, you know, obviously in the end, it all comes down to a certain level of trust in the management, because we also don't want to waste our own money. But, you know, if you're doing it, obviously we are convinced that it's something we can do successfully. And, you know, of course, like I said, only time can tell whether we're going to do successfully. And if successfully can be defined in many ways, but how to define it in terms of numbers is something different. Like I said, for me, the success is that if we're growing at, like, say, 12%, 10%, 12%, whatever it was, in the long term, even if we could grow at a higher percentage in the short term, then are these like, you know, measures taking our growth rate up significantly to maybe 15 to 30%, you know, in that range over a 10-year period, you know? And if that's something that's sustainable, then, you know, that's without losing the core operating leverage and profitability in the margins, then I think then it's a successful business. So it's going to take some time because, you know, it's even, you know, the Control Print business took a long time before we created that base. We had that thing and then we went to a mode where we were focused more on profitability rather than just growing. So just,
sir,
you know.
Yes, sir. I agree with whatever you have spoken in length now. So only two small points. Firstly, sir, if you could, as you mentioned right now, you with the discussion with the CFO and the board, during the next results or maybe the annual results, I think so, a well-documented narrative from your side or from in the encrypted way, that is just narrated out in proper documented words, would give a better understanding of what you are trying to explain to us, which is very well understood. And sir, firstly, I missed your point about our core business sentiment part. We are also witnessing a lot of consumer companies who are our customers feeling the pain in terms of the volume growth. However, inflation has subsided to some extent in across the board, taking into account the veggies of the seasonal veggies. But what is your understanding? What is the feedback from your customer, from our mother business, in terms the consumer demand and the consumer sentiment? And I think so 400 CR was our board guideline to achieve in terms of top line. In 2 years, that is March 24. So we are, I think so, on path of achieving that. But if you could give some more color and spend some time on giving your thought process on how the business sentiments are.
So it's difficult for me to give the sentiments. What we've seen is that our own business is going stably in the coding and marking business I'm talking about specifically, so I'll emphasize. What has happened is that for some reason, the pipeline is good in terms of new printer sales, but they're taking a bit more time to close. Now, I don't know if it's because the market is slowing, the customers are not saying that any project is dropped or factories are there. So it just seems to be a little bit slower. which I think, you know, somebody has asked this question earlier about the new printer sales being a bit down. So again, it could be partly for a change of strategy. We're not changing our strategy. We're still expecting to sell the same amount as what we did in previous years, which means we have to have a stronger second half in the coding and marking business. But again, we did expect maybe that we would sell about at least 150-200 printers more in the first half than what we have. But we're expecting to make up in the second half. But I don't know if it's because of the market or, you know, no big slowdown being, you know, said by any of our customers or anything. But yeah, it's not, it's just a little bit slow in terms of new printer sales. That's what I would say. But other than that, the people who have the printers are using the printers, and, you know, that seems to be fine. But it's just a slight slowdown in new printer, in projects getting concluded and going live. And obviously, you have to understand our printer is a very small part of the project. So, you know, obviously, this is when people are setting up new factories, brownfield expansions, revamping some of their existing factories or lines. You know, first they order the line, they do everything, then we're the last people who go. So it could be some slight slowdown there, but I wouldn't know. I really wouldn't know.
Sir, as I'm sorry to take much of your time, but our consumable demand is dependent, is directly proportional to the utilization level. So as you have already many times mentioned that it is on the lines on which the printers are being installed and at what pace the production goes, that depends, that is directly related to the consumable getting replenished at a considerable pace. So taking that into account, what is the understanding in terms of the consumable replenishment from the customers whom we are servicing?
Yeah, so I think I mentioned earlier that, you know, the consumers business has been the sales growth driver for us so far this first half of the year. Now again, I don't know if it's because the quality of sale has been better over the last year and a half, and that's why the per printer consumables has increased, which means people are printing more from each printer, which could also be, in our specific case, not related to the market, but related to the fact that our overall quality of installation has improved a bit. So it could be that, but again, like, I don't know offhand, but people who have the printers definitely seem to be using them. For some reason, the new printer pipelines seem to be, nobody's dropping it. It's not like we're losing that many cases or anything. It just seems to be that the pipeline is, you know, taking a little bit more time to move ahead. So it could be, you know, I think it's probably because we're moving more towards larger customers, and therefore the pipeline is being a bit slower to, you know, move through and conclude, because larger customers have, you know, a higher degree of sign-offs. So I would again not know, you know, but yeah, the people who have the printers seem to definitely be using them, but the new printer sales, the pipeline seems to be a bit slower. So like I said, I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but we're still expecting to make up in the second half of the year. Like I said, we're still about 17% odd market share in the overall market, and about 21% amongst the big four. So we can still make up even through market share gains, even if the printer, you know, sales or the overall market growth is slightly slower.
Right. And Jerry, sir, your last comment on the employee benefit part, what is one-off there, or for a quarterly basis, what should be the standalone numbers we should work on? This quarter, yeah, it was 23 crore.
So what happens is that we normally have about 17 or 18% of the revenue as our employee costs. So this particular quarter, we made a provision because internally management has taken a decision, you know, like, to make sure that critical employees or the high performers or senior employees who have contributed to the company's growth and who have stayed loyal to us, we need to recognize them. So it's still an internal management decision. Overall, by the end of the year, it should just, you know, streamline, because with the increase in the revenue, the ratios would definitely be on the same line. So we would, you know, like, look up to, you know, probably about 18% or 19% of our, or 17-18% of our sales as the employee costs for the year-end figures.
Correct, sir.
Yeah.
Right, sir. And for the other expenses, I think so you did.
But then other expenses, you know, what we do is, you know, it's more or less, you know, like as per the needs of the business. So there might be, you know, like some quarters where it might be higher as compared to the sales. But we are normally, you know, like our normal ratio is about 13% of the total sales. So we would stick to the same levels for the year end, ended 31st of March 2025 as well.
Correct, sir. Sir, can you give me our annual profit number for the last 3 years and the total investment that has gone into these subsidiaries? Do you have them handy?
Saketji, what I can do is that, you know, like we can maybe connect later and then I would have you, I will send over the email to you.
No, the total investment number you have, sir, how much till now, till date, we have invested in these subsidiaries, the Mass Print, the Codeology and the V-Shape?
Well, the total investment is about 75 crores.
Okay. So here, Shiva sir, I'd like to disagree. 75 crore is our last year net profit number, or sorry, the PBT number. So that's a substantial amount investment that has gone through.
This is investment in equity as well as provision of loans.
I put on the last con call, you know, like I said, my view is that even if we lose 28 crores in our packaging machinery business, that was the budget for them. Luckily, we only lost about 8 crores in the first half. So we're doing better than what we expected. So what I'm saying is that, you know, in the end, we're still in an investment phase. And I do believe that for the size of Control Print and for our long-term thing, if these are initiatives, you know, I don't, like I said, look at 75 crores as I took it in 1 year. I look at this as these are things that we've been investing over for 5 years, along with the operating costs, along with the operating expenses. We're calculating everything. And we're also calculating what is our core profitability growth. And honestly, the numbers will look even worse, because even if you look at our standalone business, you know, even in there, we must have lost crores, because we are investing even in our standalone business, because the track and trace comes under the standalone business. The digital printing, a lot of the expenses and the investments and the R&D is coming in our standalone business. And even in the packaging business, there are a lot of people in India, like not a lot of people, there are a few people in India also besides CPL Italy who are also involved in that business, and they are expensive people. So what I'm saying is that even if I take that out, then like I said, the coding and marking business profit might increase. But the standalone came down as a result. And then when I add the consolidated, it came down. But, you know, again, like I said, I'm looking at what is our long-term story out here over the next decade, you know. So that's my, obviously, like, you know, my responsibility. And I, you know, I've got a mandate from the board that, you know, that within this amount of risk or investment, what are the things I can or cannot do? And obviously, we've got some internal objectives that we shared with the board, and, you know, they are convinced that the plan is viable and should be executed and will create, you know, value for our customers, you know, for our employees and also, you know, for our shareholders and, you know, in general for our society. So, you know, we're doing innovative things, like I said, and all the projects we have are not only for generating significant margins, but, you know, also that they have some areas where we have some key technologies and some variations, which means that it's a protectable niche, you know, and it's something that we not only, like, it's a big sales market, but, you know, we also have some competitive advantages and some areas of differentiation, which makes it very difficult. In some cases, we even just have outright patents. We have a whole bunch of patents across the track and trace and across the packaging machinery business where, you know, people will find it difficult to, get into the same things or give the same types of solutions as us. So like I said, again, you know, I think that we've asked for some patience. And like I said, I think what we'll do is we'll give some more, you know, definition on what's there in terms of the division-wise numbers. But in the end, you know, for me, this was part of the plan. And I'm comfortable. You know, I know that we have to invest sometimes to grow. And definitely this is one of those cases where I feel that so far, we're okay. We're on track.
Yes, sir. Sir, I also second your views as an investor. The only point was that your thought process and your endeavor should be well articulated to your investors also, so that they are also on the same path and the same thought process where you are. And also, there should be a clear narrative to the new set of investors who would be looking our company as an investable line item. So these are my reasons that why I have dwelled on them throughout the call, that there should be that visibility and the endeavor should be there in the mindset of our investors also. Other than that, I second your views that these are investments and in no way can be treated as losses or otherwise. So we will never be changing our profile and we will never go into that growth loop which you are trying to take the company forward. But on the sake of reputation also, that should be well articulated and went to the your investing communities also. Otherwise, we will be losing our mojo, which we have the confidence which we have developed over a period of time. Sir. And I'm really thankful to you for spending the time and very patiently hearing to me and answering all the questions. Best of luck to the team, sir, and Shubh Deepavali to everybody, sir. Thank you.
Oh, no, absolutely appreciated, Swapiji. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Saket, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, so my first question would be like in certain industries like diagnostics, you know, companies or equipment providers, they give their equipments on rent and then they get a revenue on consumables. So what is our revenue model? Do we outright say is it an outright sale model of printers and then consumables follow, or we also give something on that annuity or say rental kind of a model for our printers?
So we've got different revenue models. You rightly picked up two. Depending on the customer needs and depending upon how the negotiations happen, so either we sell it on an outright basis or we have a lease model or they give it on the rentals. So it varies upon customer to customer basis.
And what would be the say mix between say lease versus outright sale?
Saketji, this is like a bit of confidential information. We don't.
So coming to the, I think the something that has been discussed in the last couple of quarters, like we are repurposing or relooking at how we are focusing on some of the key accounts. Now, based on how key accounts are approached, typically that requires very different kind of orientation, right? You look at it's more like solution selling. Technical selling, you look at portfolio, it's also portfolio selling. So vis-a-vis say somebody who is just looking vis-a-vis say a sales profile of a feet on the street guy. Now when we repurposed or relooked at our strategy wherein we are focusing on those key accounts and trying to land and then expand, so did we hire new people or we repurposed our existing sales force only to achieve the same objective of expanding or focusing on the key account?
Well, a large part of it is our existing base because they are already capable of doing it. What happens is that because they're servicing smaller customers, they get distracted. So they were already capable of handling a lot of the larger customers, but now their focus is 100% on that. And more importantly, when we are taking new people in, and we have an attrition level, and there is a turnover that happens, then we're also getting more people with this basic mentality, which is, like you said, more in the solution selling space, more in, representing the company at a different level. So I think that's also, it's a transition that's happening. But again, what happens with a company like ours, which has an existing base, which has an installation, these changes, we don't want them to be disruptive. We want them to be revolutionary, but over a long term. So, because in the end, we can't afford a disruption in the short to medium term because that will affect our business negatively, but more importantly, it affects the customer's production levels and other types of situations also. We're very conscious of that. So these are things that, when we're taking it up, it's going to take 1, 2, 3, 4 years to optimize it to the 100% max. So I don't think we've optimized this strategy to that level. Saketji, but we are working on it and we are improving upon it, and definitely
as and when attrition happens, as and when people are there, you know, new people are there, we are moving more and more towards this new line of thinking.
Okay. A fair point. Now, given that, you know, based on, I have worked in some similar industries in the past, so that requires a very strong, you know, human resource division. So has investment been made because training or upgrading their skills? And again, as you also talked about, you know, the solution selling part, and also they now will have to, say, engage with more senior folks, right? And not just retrospective, but they also maybe need to have a view on how the industry is evolving. Something like happens in IT, right? You need to engage constantly with the C-suite to understand, you know, how are they looking at future investments so that you're not caught unaware. So is that something that you're focused on and strengthening your human resource department or something? If you can share something on that.
No, absolutely. So we've got a strong human resources department. We're definitely strengthening that further. We also have a very strong training program. Although what we do is we focus more on internal trainings within the company, which is more technical in nature and sales in nature. And then for a lot of the sales and negotiation skills, other types of things, normally we tend to use outside consultants, where we've got a few good ones. And we tend to use some combination of outside consultants for maybe more of the softer skills. But we've got an extremely strong, hard skill in terms of technical training on all our products for all the people who join. And you can see, like, within 6 months, people are able to service printers independently and also understand, you know, all the different aspects of our printer, the technical differences versus competitors, various technologies, the operational costs, and so on and so forth, and confident to answer those questions. But yes, so we need to continuously upgrade that skill. We also have a performance management system, so we're making some changes in that because of some integration issues with our SAP. But we are that's something that we're also working on quite intensively. It's taking some more time to upgrade that. But yeah, definitely, I mean, I totally understand what you're saying. We need to do that. And as far as the C-suite and other stuff goes, I will say that, you know, in our business, unfortunately, at least at the coding and marking space, so, and there's also one difference between the track and trace and the, you know, digital printing, but especially with the packaging machinery where it happens at a higher level along the track and trace, a lot of our business, you know, frankly, for the date code and batch code printer and that sort of thing, it's not, you know, it's not like the CEO is concerned with what he's using, right? Like, if I'm the CEO of Britannia, for example, I'm not really going to be concerned about how I'm printing the date code and batch code. So there are some people that are there, but it's not normally at a very extremely senior level who look at this. They're aware of what's happening, but then again, they're not that involved in the shortlisting and decision making. But yes, what happens is definitely there are many factories, many key production people, packaging development people and technical people, sometimes even purchase people, and we need to make sure that everyone is, you know, in sync when they go for a solution of ours so that it's effective.
Oh, fair point. Thanks for the response. Now, another question that I had is, you know, when we are looking at some of the emerging trends, like even pharma now is extensively now focusing on, you know, getting these barcodes done. So now that is where I was coming from. It is also now becoming an important, say, problem area for top leaders. Now I understand that everybody may not get engaged at some level, but you know, given that you see news around, you know, spurious drugs and all those things, you know, and adulterated food. So that's where I was coming from. It is now catching the attention of senior folks as well. So maybe the seniority profile goes up, but I agree that it may not necessarily require, say, a Warren Berry or a HUL CEO to intervene in that. So that's where I was coming from, that the profile definitely goes up if you bunch up or look at, say, a more bigger size of the pie.
So you're correct, but what I would say specifically when you're talking about pharmaceutical, you're talking about spurious drugs and other things, those are done by a track and trace team. And then we have some high strength anti-counterfeiting solutions integrated in that. So when I say track and trace packaging machinery, again, then we have to interact with senior teams. But when I'm talking about just simple date code, batch code type of application, MRP printing and so on, there, you know, it's not necessarily at that level. So when it becomes more of a higher end solution, rather than just a piece of production equipment, then, you know, obviously the level changes of the interaction.
And just one request, because I understand that we have already discussed this, but we are not really looking at guidance, but if you could outline some of the metrics, where a lot of initiatives are taking place, and I think you have patiently responded to them as well, the investment going on. So, for example, if we just outline a number of large accounts, how we are defining our tier of accounts, how has been the movement? Say, now we had 5 large accounts, it is now 10, then what's the realization per account? See, something that you can share in the presentation going forward, then it also helps us tag along with you on that journey. I understand that these are difficult battles, right? And some of the new initiatives that you are talking about, these are cutting edge, so even the industry will take time before they absorb it properly. And I understand, because I had a discussion with senior folks in pharma space, they are looking at these solutions, but even they are not sure how to go ahead with that. So that's where I was coming from, that if you can articulate or share some matrices also as of how we are trending on them, and not necessarily guidances. I understand guidances have a very different connotation in our investing world. So then I think that would be really useful.
So definitely, maybe what we can do is we can check with a few customers whether we can utilize their names. Normally, although we don't sign an NDA for each and everything, it is understood that all customers are confidential, especially when we're giving them different solutions from the industry standard. Maybe something we can talk about once 1-2 projects get completed. We also do track what we say closely as to how many people and what sort of revenue bucket, or how many are 50 lakhs plus in terms of ink revenue per year, or how many are between 20 and 50, how many are in what level. So yeah, definitely we're seeing an upgrade of levels in terms of the big accounts are increasing. But yeah, it's something we're not disclosed. I don't know if it's confidential, something we'll have to discuss internally. So I can't promise anything. Jaideep, if you can note this point down, we can discuss.
Yeah, we can.
Something we can look at disclosing.
So, yeah, we'll try to explore something. Yeah, providing some kind of information that will keep
something very broad in nature in that.
Yeah, we could. Trend, we're not looking at specifics here. Just to get the trend. Something IT companies does all the time, right? These are our $1 million accounts. These are 500-1. This is the number. This is the contribution. This is how it has trended. Or something on that. From what I understand, that confidentiality is of utmost importance, and we want you to maintain that. That's a business hygiene. So thanks and best wishes to the team.
Thank you
for patiently answering all your questions.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
The next question is from the line of Rohan Patel from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello? Yeah.
Mr. Rohan Patel?
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to understand what is your capacity utilization factor for Q2 as well as H1.
Yeah, we are about 65% of the capacity utilization.
That stands for H1.
Yeah, for the coding and marking, yeah, H1. We are on the same thing, about 63-65% is what we look out for.
Okay. And what I have seen in your presentation is that your overall capacity that you mentioned is more than 19,500 printers.
Yeah.
And what you have guided is that you wanted to end the year with 2700 to 2800 printers. So that comes out to be very low capacity utilization. So can you just help me understand?
Yeah, sure. Would you like to take this?
No, I understand. When we say it's 18,500 printers, I don't get it.
No, we say the installed base is about 19,500.
The installed base.
Installed base.
In customers which are working, and that's what's defined as the installed base. And then what we sell annually is 2,800. Now, out of the 18,500, I think that should be the working installed base, if I'm correct. So, if we sell 2,800 printers, be 18,500 plus 2,800. we don't count upgrade printers in that. So, printers that we've upgraded or, sort of refreshed is not counted in that. But, so it'll be 18,500 plus 2,800 next year. So it'll be 20,
1,300, out of which maybe 500-700 will also go into a non-working base and reduce a little bit, something like that.
So Ron, there is a fixed retirement plan as well. So, you know, some of the printers get retired as well.
Okay. And I just wanted to, like, if you can give us a ballpark figure or some normal understanding, like how, at what rate we can grow over the next 3 to 5 years, like consolidated entity, given that you have made such an efforts in subsidiaries as well as you are going to do that in standalone entities. So can, like, how, where would be Control Print, like, say 3 or 4 years down the line from current 360 crore top line to somewhere around 800-900, like, if you can give us just broad understanding of direction, if you can quantify. So,
you know, so I think what we've said is that, you know, the standalone coding and marking business, you know, our core business, the market growth rate is about 1.5 times GDP. That's about 10-12%. And we said that we are confident that we can get the market rate or better, you know, and that's the only guidance we've given, unfortunately, you know, Rohan. So you have to make your own calculations beyond that about every other thing.
Okay, and like we can expect the current margins to be the base, and can we see the margin improvement from here on?
So again, like I said, there have been some margin improvements in my own calculations. It's partly that there have been some investments in some other business. I don't know if you were there in the earlier part of the call or not. But we've invested in some of our growth initiatives, both on a standalone basis and surely on a consolidated basis also. So I think it, you know, as a result, some of the expenses of the employees and other expenses and some margins also look lower as a result. So I think if I look at our core coding business, it's going better. But yeah, it's also being used to pull along certain other businesses which are not, you know, at that independent business profitability maturity stages yet, and right now, yeah, that's what the situation is. So on a consolidated basis, it's very difficult to understand or to predict anything, because, you know, the other three businesses are still relatively young, and like I said, we are expecting the things, we believe things are going relatively well, and, you know, in sometime, you know, which was my thing was like, this is 6 months out of that 2 year period that we said that, hey, you know, we need 2 years to get back to investors with some sort of a clear picture ahead. So I know that that's not the answer that anyone wants, but, you know, that's the situation that's there right now, you know, but obviously we are working towards something better.
Okay. That was from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Ralph Kruger from Arkstone Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Regarding the packaging machine market and your expectations for that, again, I know that this is just the original or the initial foray into the area, but are you... when you're thinking about the packaging market and the addressable market, I have a few questions. One is, you have patent protections on both machines and the sachets. And the first question is, are you comfortable with the degree of protection that you have from possible competition with those two protection patent areas? That's the first one. Second thing is
honestly, four questions. I'll forget the first question. Is that okay?
Okay.
Can we do it this way?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, okay. Looking at the patent, because you asked a very specific question, we have about 4 core patents around the technology of the packaging machinery. What you cannot patent a material theoretically, you cannot patent the structure. That's the way the patent rules work. What we have is that a patent on the machinery and the way the machinery is used. So what we've done is we've put a RFI, like we've locked our machine to us. So the first thing we did with after we purchased this customer, we started CPL Italy and we purchased the intellectual property in CPL Italy. The first thing we've done is we've implemented a sort of protection similar to what we do in our ink business. I don't know if you're aware that, you know, we lock our printers and our cartridges. So there is a lock, and technically we're entitled to do that because it's a patented machine of ours. So, you know, although there's, you know, we cannot patent the structure, so we cannot patent the structure of the material. Obviously, there's some very specifics that go in that material. I don't work in the machine, so I want to be very clear. There's also a technical bar out here. But what's happening is that we have some four key patents around the machine. And we're very clear to customers that we have Tetra Pak style, so to say, you know, lock the machine with our, how should we put it, like with our RFID. So if they purchase the machine, they will also purchase the packaging material at a predefined cost from us. So that's the model that's there. It is a Tetra Pak type model. The patents, I can tell you, are key, I mean, primarily around the machine, because certain types of packaging structures are not allowed to be patented in terms of, you know, if it's just a structure.
Okay. Good.
There's a lot. If as an investor, if you buy the machine, you have to buy the materials from us. There's no way to get around that.
Right. Okay, good. Which is very similar to your coding and marking machines as well.
Exactly. So we use some of the same technology out there. Our similar RFID implementation is there. So every time you buy a roll, it comes with an RFID tag, which is embedded, and it gives you a certain amount of credit.
Okay. All right. So now that, I mean, you've decided to purchase V-Shapes, I assume that the margins on the machines and the margins on the packaging material are going to be somewhat higher than your core business.
No, the gross margins in packaging materials are definitely lower. The gross margins on the machines are good. They're similar to our existing overall gross margins. But the net margins in that business is pretty good because the cost, so each person ends up, you know, the amount of revenue that you drive in terms of the SG&A is significantly lower as a percentage of sales. So on an overall operating basis, assuming the business scales up, then, you know, it would, yeah, be a, both at a similar level to coding and marking, you know, and coding and marking is actually higher than what it seems. But yeah, so, but the gross margins will be lower, the net margins will be same or higher.
Okay, so just let me repeat what you said to see if I get it. So you're saying that the machine profitability, the margins on the machines will be higher. However, the packaging material will be somewhat lower, possibly, and net-net, you're going to have the same or possibly a little higher margins for the entire packaging business.
Yeah, as compared to the existing coding and marketing business, yes. So on an overall basis, we would expect the net margins to be similar, at least. We would expect the gross margins for the machines to be the same or higher. We would expect the gross margins for the materials to be lower. And that's because obviously everyone is very conscious of the cost of the packaging material, because in the end, that's the, you know, a critical decision-making aspect. So we don't want to price ourselves out of the market. Of course, if you're selling to certain people like pharmaceutical companies and so on, the margins might be quite high in those types of cases because they have certain structures which require more complexity, and, you know, then we can charge more. But, you know, when you're starting to get into the volume markets like food and cosmetics, then the margin will definitely not be that high. Yeah, so, like, you know, that's okay. Yeah, I think your understanding is correct right there.
Okay, right. So to further this thought, the coding machine is at the end of the assembly line, and it amounts to a very small percentage of the cost of going through the entire assembly line for the product or whatever you're coding at the end of the production. However, when you're doing the packaging, that is a much higher relative cost. So, and to your point, you have to be careful how you price it, so you don't price yourself out of the market because it's a much larger piece of the production than you're used to in the coding and marking. Correct?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. All right. So now the V-shape.
I just want to be clear. So when we're talking about the market, of course, what we're doing is we're competing against other single-use technologies. So it could be significantly more expensive technologies like single-use glass jars or containers or tubes. It could be things which are more expensive than what our packaging is, which could be something like a thermoform. So even something like a thermoform would be technically more expensive on a per-piece basis, depending on the type of barriers, depending on the combination of materials we're using. The moment you go to an aluminum barrier, of course, the material is going to be significantly more expensive. And then if you go to a sachet, you know, compared to our monodose solution, then the sachet will be cheaper on a per packet basis. And of course, these are some of the key single-use technologies, but there are others. So just to give you an idea, so what's happening is, it depends obviously on each. What I'm saying is if you're making Heinz ketchup, you're going to be very conscious of, you know, the cost. And if you're making some sort of expensive serum, you know, in cosmetics or some sort of a pharmaceutical product, you might not be that conscious of the cost per pack. But you get what I'm saying, like the high volume guys will be more conscious.
Okay. So last question is, so when I'm thinking about V-shapes, the first thought I had was it's a natural product for the lower income countries because people buy much smaller quantities, single usage at the very, very low end of the quantity than higher income countries. However, the second thought I had was that if you're using a very expensive product, maybe an expensive cosmetic, the V-shape might be marketed in a higher income country similarly as it would be in a lower income country for a basic soap or Purcell hand cleaner. Is that correct thinking or am I off?
So right now the restriction on us, to be honest, is mainly that our sales and marketing effort is quite pathetic, to be honest, which is obviously one of the things I'm building out. So the main limitation is that we've not reached 99.73% of the market, frankly, or whatever, something like that. So the awareness of the solution, you know, the comparison with the existing single-use solutions is not in place. And of course, there are many things which, you know, could work out. So even if you have something like honey or something, now you've got it in a glass bottle or a cough syrup. Now, I don't know how many you used it, but, you know, every time you open it, there's like half the honey or half the cough syrup which runs down the side. Or if you use something like black bean paste. So you can even convert something like that into a single use or a miso paste. Because, you know, some people will not cook the entire 200 grams and they maybe only need 15 grams for a single portion. And there's no point in me buying a huge bottle or something if I don't need it. So there are, of course, many combinations here. There are many people who are interested, for example, right now in certain things like serums. Because they might have a 30 ml glass bottle of serum. The first thing is when I open the bottle, the barriers, you know, it's obviously exposed to the air. So even if it's packed in glass, which is, you know, a beautiful container, it's very inert. The moment I open it, it's exposed to the air. So it's lost its barrier properties, which means a lot of these serums start losing a lot of efficiency very fast because of the oxidization. And that means you have to add a whole bunch more chemicals, some of which customers don't like, to protect it against that. There's no easy way to have a, you know, a 1 ml dispensing. So suppose I've got a, just for example, 2,000 rupees serum. It might make more sense that I pack in 30 individual use packs for from our side, you know, and charge 70 rupees per pack. And that might be better and more practical for the customer rather than one 2,000 rupee bottle. So even those types of situations can happen. But what we're seeing is, you know, there's, so far we've been focusing more on the pharmaceutical market and the OTC because, you know, we're still getting all our materials from Italy. They're quite expensive. And as a result, we were then focusing on the high margin customers who pay us quite a lot of money. Now we're also working on some, and the second problem we're having is that the pharmaceutical customers have no restriction on what material they use. So they can afford to go for non-recyclable packages. In the food and cosmetics industry, the feedback has been quite clear
that unless there's no choice, they will not go for a non-recyclable package going forward. So we have developed a recyclable package and in the process of scaling it up. It's also going to be significantly cheaper with a high barrier. And that's something we're also looking at making ourselves locally in India. And that's something which we feel will get the cost down by almost like 40-50% from where it is right now and really help us get into that cosmetic and especially the food sector where the volumes could be significantly higher. So right now the two bottlenecks are the cost per piece and the second is the non-recyclability is something I want to be quite transparent about. And the pharmaceutical and in those types of customers don't have any restrictions. In fact, they don't really care what happens. They want an aluminium barrier in there, somewhat made. But the food and the cosmetic sector is very sensitized as of right now. And they definitely, in their new packaging, I mean, I don't know how true it is, but they definitely seem like a recyclability, a fully recyclable option is a must. So we have developed a solution. There was a lot of fine-tuning involved. It's ready now and it's being tested. And that's something we're working on or scaling up in a big way.
Okay, sorry, one last question is...
Mr. Ross, sorry to interrupt,
yeah.
But due to time constraint, we will have to take that as the last question.
Thank you very much.
Don't worry, I'll just take this call. Last question. Please go, Mr. Ross.
Okay, so... Shucks. Are you anticipating? Well, no. Sorry. Let me ask one last question. At what time frame would you be disappointed if you didn't sell one machine?
No. I think I would be very disappointed if I didn't sell one machine. So I can't comment right now on the existing pipeline. We have an existing pipeline. we might have sold machines or we might have some existing prospects. I mean, I can't disclose this to you, maybe towards the end of the year. But, you know, like I said, each machine, if we sell a machine, it's going to take 6 months before we can execute it because I need to do a whole bunch of packaging tests to validate the material, to validate the aging test. And in a pharmaceutical environment, there's a six-month aging that takes place. So, you know, in the food and the cosmetic sector, we can do an accelerated aging, they accept it. But for the pharmaceutical, they require to create that information. And for that, they need to store the materials for 6 months and test them again. And test them again so that they have it for their dossier. And then only can they use it in their packaging. So even on the OTC product, if it's sold under a doctor's prescription, the same rules apply.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for taking my last question. I appreciate it. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everybody for joining the call and wish you and your families a happy Diwali.
And absolutely the same, happy Diwali to everyone. Thanks for taking the time out. It's really appreciated from our side. I think a lot of great questions. I understand that there's some short-term concerns. But like I said, we're still comfortable mentally and we feel the opportunities are large. And we will definitely keep people posted during this journey if we feel anything adverse happens. And hopefully we'll try to give some good great pointers also pointed by, there's Mr. Saket and other people. Right. And we'll definitely try to incorporate some of those suggestions internally. We don't like to sometimes disclose too much, but we will get back to everyone and see to the maximum level if we can improve the amount we disclose.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Asian Markets Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks, Karan. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Thank you.